Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Attention. 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 Do I have everybody's attention now? Burn it
down! This is the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Finally!
Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not done with that, Philly's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn-deniable.
And everything in between.
Superkick Hotel!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to my
Welcome, everyone, to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Scotty Villa is here with UK Tom. Monday Night Mike is still banned from the show because he didn't show up for work again today. So it's myself and Tom holding down the fort. We've got a special one, Tom. We've got a very, very exciting episode for everybody here today.
Oh, yeah. I've been looking forward to this since you told me it was happening. So,
yeah, man. We've got an interview. We're doing a little backstage brawl is what we like to call it here on the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. We've seen this guy working for the last couple of years since we've been going to CWE shows here in Regina. The man's been touring all over Canada. He's got a massive list of matches. We're chatting with Kamikaze. Kamikaze, how's it going?
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it. It's a pleasure to be on.
This is awesome, man. Like, we don't throw a lot of requests out there. I'm very much I just don't want to bother people. And I know how busy pro wrestlers are. So for you to come on, give us some of your time, we very much appreciate it.
Oh, likewise, guys. Let's rock and roll here.
Nice, yeah. Nice. I kind of want to get into it. I love finding out about pro wrestlers the moment they fell in love with pro wrestling, if they remember the match or the wrestler, whatever it may be. What hooked you to into pro wrestling?
I'd say my first memory is like Hulk Hogan, man. Like, just Hulkamania running wild. Like, it was insane, you know. And I'd say that WrestleMania 3, my dad had it on VHS, watched that countless times, just the pandemonium, you know, 93,000 people, Andre and Hogan, Macho Man and Steamboat just blew my mind. I'd just be jumping up and down like a kid, like just going nuts, you know, just who's going to win, who's going to lose. Those are some of my earliest memories. And then also like on TV when Jake Roberts and Earthquake squished his snake in the bag, killed Damien. That really blew my mind and really traumatized me for a while. Those are like my earliest memories for sure.
Yeah, that's those are some pretty good memories there. WrestleMania 3 with that crowd, and especially what I remember from that show is Savage and Steamboat as well.
Yes, so
that's
unbelievable.
A hell of a match. Did you have a moment where you're like, "This is what I want to do"? Like, I want to be a wrestler. I know most fans have that moment, but was there
I'd say I got into it in like the late 80s, early 90s, and I was still very, very young. Then I kind of fell out of it. My dad is a huge fan, and he's the main reason why I got into it. In grade 7, I would have been 12 years old. I kind of got back into it. The Attitude Era was happening, 1998. And my parents divorced, and we go to my dad's for dinner every Monday night, and we watch Raw together as a family, you know, my sister and I. And that, seeing Monday Night Raw, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Mankind, Vince McMahon, just the antics and the Attitude Era, that's when I decided this is what I want to do. And I also had a good friend that I'm still friends to this day with, Matt Leismeister. He wanted to be a pro wrestler before I did. And I remember in grade 7 homeroom class, he's just like, we were just talking about what we want to do with our lives. And he's like, yeah, I want to be a pro wrestler. And it was right at that moment where I was like, you can actually pursue this. You can actually do this. Like, yeah, I want to be a pro wrestler too. And I just like agreed with him. And then we started backyard wrestling after that for like 5 years. So that's kind of how she started.
That was going to be my, my next question. If you ever did any of the backyard or anything like that.
Guys, I took it to another level, man. I'm not trying to toot my own horn or nothing, but crazy mofo wrestling, CMF wrestling was like my first promotion. And dude, we started with like no people, and then it just snowballed. You get like 12 people, 20 people. Then it got up to like 75. The most we ever had packed in my backyard, 173 people. I was 17 years old. Like we wrestled in my high school, McCoy High School, 3 times. There's like over 600 people watching us there. It snowballed over the years. And I recorded everything. You could literally watch me from age 12 to 17, like grow up and like just filmed everything we did. Like countless. I probably did over 200 matches as a backyard wrestler, to be honest. Like wild, wild stuff.
That's awesome.
YouTube. I have a highlight reels of CMF wrestling and you can take a look. I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. I put that up against a lot of indie-rific crap you see today, to be honest with you.
Nice. Well, everyone listening, go check out Kamikaze's YouTube page. Check it out. You can watch the growth of a pro wrestler from 17.
The evolution.
That's it. The evolution. That's right. So you go from backyard wrestling. When do you decide to go, I need to be trained professionally to do this, to take the next step?
Well, that's kind of what started the backyarding, because as soon as my buddy Matt in my grade 7 homeroom, he's like, I want to be a wrestler. And I was like, yeah, I want to do that too. And we started looking into like training and stuff like that. And everywhere we were looking around Canada, you had to be 18 years old. We were both only 12 at the time, 12 and 13. So that's when we took matters into our own hands. And we took it very seriously, man. We put footage in slow motion and watched how they executed the maneuvers and stuff, and held training sessions. We built like a wrestling dummy in the backyard, had like a bucket for a head, and it was stuffed with clothes, and learned how to just like work with that before we started working with each other. But I lied about my age when I was 17. I found a promotion in Edmonton, Alberta called Monster Pro Wrestling. And I told them I was trained. I told them I was 18. I still was underage at the time. I took a Greyhound bus. It was like a 12-hour trip from Medicine Hat to Edmonton. And I worked my very first match in 2004 of May. I had a singles match with a wrestler named Shane O'Ryan. And then I also worked a battle royal that night. So that was my first official getting into the business. And then I knew after that, on the bus ride home, I needed to get properly trained. I wasn't too bad, but there's still, you can't learn everything out of the backyard self-taught. There's tricks to the trade. You just need to learn from a professional. So I saved money. I went to college for a year, took drama, bachelor of fine arts, and just as like a backup, but it never amounted to much. I wanted to be a wrestler. I worked at Houston Pizza as a dishwasher, saved up $500. To me, that was like the most. I just need $500 and I'm out of here. So I moved away before my 19th birthday. I was still 18 years old and made the jump to Edmonton and trained with the wrestler named Chi-Chi Cruz.
That's nice. Chi-Chi Cruz is a name I haven't heard for a little while.
Yeah, he's a bit of a Canadian legend. Yeah, he's retired now for 15 years almost, I think. But great talent.
What I want to jump back for half a second, but like,
yes,
what a great way to be a 12-year-old kid and try to your best to stay out of trouble and keep yourself busy. And you're building rings, you're putting shows together, you're training yourself, you're building wrestling dummies. Like, I think a lot of kids can grab something from that instead of hanging out with their cell phones and their iPads all the time, right? Yeah. Like
you can 100%
and do that, even if you shouldn't be doing the big moves and stuff that you're seeing in the ring in your backyard, because you definitely shouldn't be doing that. There's other aspects absolutely. But there's other aspects of wrestling that you can invest in, whether it's writing storylines or coming up with whatever you want, the fantasy book, you know, building and working and acting and writing. You can do so many more things. So that's such a cool thing. I wanted to highlight that. So you went and trained with Chi-Chi Cruz. How long did that last for? Did you move on to somebody else or a different school after that?
So just to go back, actually, you are right. We are the last generation of, like, you know, using our imaginations and being outside and creating things, you know, You're right, man. We built a ring. My dad helped us build the trample ring, it was called. We'd go to Salvation Army and like grab outfits and material paint and like make our outfits and our characters. And so, yeah, I think that's being lost with the cell phone taking over a lot of the children's time these days. Now to fast forward, I trained with Chi-Chi Cruz for 3 months and I had my official debut in September of 2005, it was. And no, Cheech was amazing, man. He'd been wrestling for 20 years at that point when I broke in. He'd been to Japan and Europe and old USWA Memphis territory with Jerry Lawler, had tryouts with WWF. He never got picked up because he was a bit of a partier and they just signed WCW. They bought WCW at the time. So, but he was a hell of a Canadian talent, man. Very highly regarded. Whenever I told wrestlers around Canada who I was trained by, Chi-Chi Cruz, a lot of times guys would just like bow to me and just be like, whoa, like, so there was a lot of respect and credibility being trained by him. I did countless seminars with all kinds of guys like Harley Race, Ricky Steamboat, Jim Ross, William Regal. But I trained with Roddy Piper for about 3 weeks for a wrestling reality TV show.
Amazing.
And that one sticks out because I don't think Piper trained a lot of guys. So it's cool to be on that list, a small list. And then I trained with Lance Storm in 2012. And man, Lance just finished me up. He was like finishing school, sharpened me up. I spent 3 months with Lance and it was one of the best decisions I ever made, like hell of a talent and a hell of a trainer. But I've been to countless seminars. Always, you got to always be getting out there, getting your face out there, learning from different guys, different styles. I have a grocery list of people I've trained with, but those ones stand out for sure. Lance Storm.
Yeah, it's we hear that from a lot of people that like Lance Storm is almost like the finishing school for
wrestlers.
And something that interests me that I know from early in your career, you started with a mask, I believe.
Yes.
And was there something to the decision to obviously take that off? And how do you? Of course. how do you find the difference between working with a mask and without? Is it, do you prefer one over the other? Sorry, that was a lot of questions at once.
Oh, no. It's all good, brother. It's all good. I started with a mask. Yes. I wore it for 5 years. Wow. And I embraced it. The booker and promoter at the time, Massive Damage for Monster Pro Wrestling, he just thought with my style, very just flashy, high flying, I just fit like a masked wrestler's look and stuff like that. I embraced it because a lot of my favorites growing up, like I got a lot of favorites over generations and time, but Tiger Mask, the original Tiger Mask, Satoru Sayama, Ultimo Dragon, the Great Sasuke, Jushin Thunder Liger. You know, these guys I just really idolized as a teenager. So to wear a mask and kind of go in their footsteps, I embraced it. However, it was very hard to see, very hard to breathe, very hard to hear. It was a bit of a handicap for sure. I did a Ring of Honor tryout in 2010 with Adam Pearce, and I didn't wear my mask. And when he found out that I did wear a mask, he was blown away. He was like, why? Why? Because I just being a theatrical kid going through drama class and, you know, just being, I don't know, just having a bit of charisma to me, I guess, you know, my facial expressions and everything. He just was like, why would you hide all that? You know, you're selling your facial expressions. He's like, stop wearing a mask. So we made it into an angle and I lost my mask in a mask versus title match. And from that point on, I didn't look back. And boy, I didn't look back at all, man. Like I thought my cardio was bad, but it was just the mask suffocating me. You know, there'd be times I'd be like blind and I couldn't hear. And there'd be like a spot called and I wouldn't hear it properly, but I'd just be green at the time and just agree and just, yeah, yeah. And then I'd have to like read the guy's body language and be like, oh yeah, it's this spot. And like last minute, just figure it out in the ring. So it was a handicap, man. Like, but no, I respect guys that wear one, but I've been there, done that for 5 years and I'm embracing rocking. Your face is your money. As Adam Pearce told me, your face is your money.
Oh, that's a great line. I don't know how Mantalo manages to wrestle in a mask for as long as he does as well.
Respect to him, man. He's a hell of a talent. And yeah, it's hard to see. It's hard to breathe, hard to hear. So the fact he's done that his whole career, like nothing but respect. I've always had respect for Mantalo, but it ups the ante just being in that situation.
So I guess my next question will be, so obviously as a connection that we have is that you've wrestled in the UK.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Well, I was out of the business for 7 years, actually. There was a gap there. And before I was out, that was the next stage for me. I was going to go wrestle in the UK for All Star Wrestling and Brian Dixon. A wrestler by the name of Frank Chick Cullen took a liking to me in Calgary and really enjoyed my style. And he really helped me out with the WWE trial to put a word in for me with William Regal and stuff. And he just was digging the way I was working. He was liking it. And he said he could hook me up in the UK. But then personal things happened and I was out of the business for 7 years. So when I decided to get back into wrestling, I didn't want to just go back into Canada and same old stuff. Like that was the next stage I should have done. So I was like, it's been 7 years later, but this is where I should be going. So I went in cold, man. Like I didn't know anyone there practically. I had one friend out there and yeah, took a flight and started taking bookings and trying just starting from scratch again, going in cold. But it was one of the best decisions I ever made. I'm glad I did it. And now I've gotten myself over with the promoters and the talent out there and the trainers.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely going to be going back, hopefully soon in the new year.
Yeah, I've not to blow smoke up your ass or anything, but I've given your name to quite a few of the guys I know over back home to
Thank you.
try
I
and
really
make.
appreciate it. Any help helps, man. Anything's appreciated. Thank you.
Because
It's a tough business.
I know there's some guys back home that you would just have phenomenal matches with. So
I was so impressed with the style. Like these guys are technically sound, and I love rolling around. I love the technical wrestling aspect. So I fit in quite well, I'd like to think. I learned a lot, soaked up a lot. I got to train with Steve Gray, Joel Redman, James Mason, Jody Fleisch. He was awesome. Got to train with him too. Got to work for All Star Wrestling, Mega Slam, one of the busiest touring promotions out there. Yeah, I worked for over 15 promotions. I was out there for 7 months. And when it was all
Wow.
said and done, I wrestled 70 matches. That holiday camp circuit, man, like it's legendary. You hear all about it. And I was so thankful and grateful to work the holiday camp circuit. It was great experience, man. I was wrestling like 8 to 9 to 10 matches a week. It was a busy schedule.
Yeah, the holiday camp circuit is insane.
It is insane.
They got like I know guys that will do like you say, four matches in a day and just
It's
ring
true.
down next park, off we
That's
go.
right, man. Yeah,
And
I did four matches a couple times too. Yeah, that's the most I've ever done in a day is four.
yeah.
Yeah.
And
Hardcore.
yeah, you can kind of tell if you're the fourth holiday park of the day because the guys are sore and you can tell.
Yeah, rightfully so. Like I liked it. I love the job out there, man. Like that's why I want to go back. Like time it for the summertime so you get those camps in again.
Yeah.
And it's like a traditional thing. Like you guys, that's part of your like culture there. Like I knew like old timers talking about when they would go to the holiday camps and now they're taking their kids. So it's just like it's part of the culture there. I love it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So I know you as the high flyer, the guy with a ton of energy when we see you at CWE shows that come through Regina here. But you had said you got no problem rolling around. Was there ever a time where you weren't the high flyer and you were the grappler? Is there a style outside of high flying that you really think you can grab onto and dominate? Or are you kind of a jack of all trades? I can work any style, like a Shawn Michaels can work any style or Dolph Ziggler.
Well, I think I've been blessed by the great Lord above with athletic ability. And like I said, my time in the backyard, like my dad built the trampol ring and we started out with like ropes and then we graduated to steel cables. And so I just got all my footing and balance and playing and practicing and perfecting night in, night out, all the high risk maneuvers and stuff like that, springboards and everything else. So that all came naturally to me when I was very young. And then I dedicated, when I broke into the business, a good solid 2 years to just rolling around on the mat and chain wrestling and exchanging holds. And it was like my goal. I just wanted to be a good technical wrestler. And like, I'm pretty confident in my abilities. Like, I got to a point where like I wanted to be able to counter someone else's counter while they're countering it, like just being like a step ahead of them. And I've gotten to that point where I can counter someone with their. exchanging and countering something, and right in my head, like, I just know to like slip behind and just counter their counter kind of thing. So I love it. I love rolling around. I love wrestling. So, but yeah, technical high flying is always the style. I've kind of said, you know, that's kind of like my style, technical high flying.
I want to change gears for a little bit, because right now it feels like we're in a wrestling boom, where wrestling is hotter than it's ever been, in my opinion. It's huge right now. But I want to get into the Canadian indie scene, because I feel like it's catching some of that boom as well. But that hasn't always been the case. Even, I imagine, a good handful of years ago, you know, 2017, 2018, I don't think it was doing that great. You've been on the scene for quite a while now. How have you battled through those really low times? And now that we're booming, how are you, I don't know if handling it is the right word, but I imagine you're getting booked everywhere right now because everybody wants to see pro wrestling in their hometown.
I'm very blessed at this point in time, and it didn't happen overnight, man. My first trainer, Chi-Chi Cruz, always said, like, Rome wasn't built in a day. You got to put in the time, pay your dues. But I'm blessed now with my experience and the time I put in. You know, I debuted in 2004, so it's 20 years later that I'm in demand. I'm working every weekend. I'm doing tours, you know, with CWE in Ontario and Central Canada. I'm definitely one of the more busier wrestlers in Canada, for sure. I've definitely had well over 100 matches this year. I haven't counted. I'm going to count after my last match on the 28th of December. But I'm just blessed that I'm making money. I'm getting by. I'm paying my bills. I'm able to buy groceries. And that's thanks to the fans, to the promoters, the bookers. I can't do that without all of those people involved. The fans, especially, with their support at the merch table and everything. But it wasn't always like that. You know, especially breaking in, you're not making much. I went from making no money, just still paying off my training. Then you graduate to like $25. Then you graduate to like $50 after a couple of years. So it's a process, man. You got to like stay on the bus and keep grinding. Like, Rome wasn't built in a day. And thankfully, just I'm a marketable guy, character. Like, my merchandise is really kicking off really well now. Got to stay on top of that and stay innovative. But no, things weren't always like that. And it's because, you know, we are in a boom right now. WWE is making billions of dollars, like red hot Netflix deal, you know, and it trickles down into the independents. And it definitely is trickling down. I can see it in Canada. I can see it on the independent scene. And you just got to ride the wave, man, and take advantage of this. You know, nothing lasts forever. Things come in cycles. So let's just enjoy this while it lasts, this peak, this crest. I'm sure we still got a lot of years in it still, but it's got to ride the wave, man. But no, it was not always like that. Been in towns, I've wrestled in front of like 15, 10 people, you know, 20 people. And those are tough crowds, man. Like, everyone's insecure and quiet and they don't want to make noise. Like, but that's where you learn. You can't regret any of that stuff. It all molds and shapes you to who you are today. So, but as of today and right now in the present and in the future, you just got to rock and roll and shine bright. And with all my experience, I got to take advantage of that and, you know, just shine bright, man, and ride the wave.
Well, one of the last shows I went to in the UK before I moved to Canada, Josh Alexander was on the show.
Nice.
And I asked him, I said, I'm moving to Canada. What can I expect wrestling wise? And his exact response to me, which is not very PG, was fuck all, find a new hobby.
I know what he means by that. I remember Johnny Devine told me one time, in Canada, we're geographically castrated. We don't get the coverage and the exposure that everyone in the United States gets, you know, not nearly as close. Television, all that stuff, you know. So I understand where he's coming from. Yeah. And yeah, there are another thing Johnny Devine said to me, there are islands of talent in a whole sea of shit. So, like, you know, that one really sticks out. And it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's guys that take this seriously and are professionals or work hard. And then there's the other half that are just indie-rific and do it part-time and don't take it seriously. You don't train, don't look like wrestlers, you know? So it's an islands of talent everywhere in a whole sea of shit. Yeah.
Yeah. I, So I have a question that I'm pretty sure wrestlers get really fed up of being asked.
What's that?
But do you have a favorite match that you've been in your career or something like that?
Yeah, several stand out for sure, man. I'd say working with Chris Masters in 2014 was really cool just because he's a stereotypical muscle-bound WWE type guy. You know, he's twice, three times the size of me. I've never been the biggest guy in the locker room. I'd like to think I'm one of the more talented ones, but never been the biggest. But just to work with like a WWE style guy that's just big, ginormous, tall, jacked, and be able to have a competitive, believable match and tell a good story, that kind of just reinforced to me that I can hang with these guys. I can hang with guys in the big leagues, and I can do this on a higher level with guys that have been there at a higher level. So that one always stands out to me. I've always been very proud of that match. It's a good little match we had together. Tagging with Ultimo Dragon and wrestling him too was very, very cool. It's one of my idols as a teenager. Yeah, there's been a lot. I've had a crazy cruiserweight championship match where it was like no DQ and I was like bleeding. And it was the end of the feud. It was part of that feud where I lost my mask and I hung from the rafters, hit like a leg drop. And like, it was just with the blood and finally winning the belt. Like that was a pretty big deal. Feuding with Johnny Devine for 9 months for the British Commonwealth Championship.
Wow.
And then finally beating him in a British rounds match, 10 rounds. We wrestled over an hour. That one was crazy too. That one stands out to me. There's been quite a few. I've been blessed. Yeah.
That's awesome. I was lucky enough to be Ultimo Dragon's driver for one of his UK tours. And I begged the promoter. I was like, please ask him to wear his mask. I don't want to see his face. That'll ruin it.
The mystique.
Yeah. And obviously we talked about your time in the UK. I was just, do you have any goals for any other international tours that you'd like to do? Or?
Yes, absolutely. When I do return to the UK, I want to branch off into like Italy, France, Germany, and then also there's a couple other places out there. Everything's so close out there. You know, you just hop on a train and it takes a couple hours, or on a quick flight and you're there. So I definitely want to branch out of just more around Europe for sure. And then Japan. I'd love to go wrestling all Japan Pro Wrestling. Harry Smith right now, Davey Boy Smith Jr. is like killing it. And I want a piece of the pie, man. Like I like the style they have there right now. Everything is very methodical. It means something. There's purpose behind everything. I find New Japan has gotten a little crazy indie style, like just so much is happening for no reason. But All Japan is still has like that traditional wrestling to it. So I'd really like a piece of the pie over there for sure.
That'd be awesome.
What's your reaction like when you hear a company like Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling making its announcement to, you know, be a new company in Canada? And they had their two debut shows in October. They were live on Fight TV that you could buy the pay-per-views. And us fans are speculating that, well, 2025, I'm hoping they're doing some touring, hoping to come out to Western Canada. When you see a company like that come up with a guy like Scott D'Amore running it, who was in charge of Impact Wrestling, TNA Wrestling, for a guy like you or even your peers, does the scuttlebutt start like, oh, man, how do I get connected with this guy? Like, I don't know if you have a home promotion at all. I know you've got championships in multiple companies right now.
Yes.
Fucking awesome. But when you see something like that and they've got TV behind them and Scott D'Amore's come out and said, we plan on having a TV show and a TV deal and we're going to build towards that. That's got to be intriguing for a guy like you that's been working your ass off for so many years.
Yes, 100%. I'm rooting for him. Canada needs something like that. Like I said before, we're geographically castrated. We need that type of exposure to showcase, because let's not beat around the bush. Canada has produced some of the best talents in professional wrestling, like bar none. And I'm on that. I want to be on that list. I want to be seen as this new generation with everyone else. I would love an opportunity there. 100%. I would. I got to try and get my foot in the door somehow, some way, but I'm rooting for them. I want them to do well and succeed. It'd be good for Canada and Canadian wrestling in general. And damn it, I'm going to try my best to get the foot in the door there as well. Like that's definitely another avenue I'll have to try and pursue most definitely. Yes.
I like it. So right now we know you, myself and Tom and our buddy Mike, we know you from CWE, Canadians Wrestling's Elite. And you're pretty much a mainstay on that tour, which has been fantastic because we've been able to watch you over the last couple of years ripping it up and killing it in that ring. And it's 9 times out of 10, most of the time, 10 out of 10, to be honest with you. After your match, we look at each other and go, how the fuck is anyone else going to follow that?
Well, thanks, guys. It's awesome.
But like when I've seen the tour schedules that CWE does, and I know you work with other companies as well. How do you keep it up? Like, how do you keep it up? It's awesome that you get, I'm not going to lie, I love championships. I love when wrestlers have championships. When I see that, I'm like, Kate, that's a guy I need to pay attention to. I believe you have a tag team championship right now and in a different
company. I'm holding 3 belts at this time in 3 different promotions.
See, to me, that's just the coolest thing ever. I fucking love that so much. It's got to feel awesome to know that you're a mainstay in these companies and you're getting these championship belts where you get to go to cities and towns all over the place. Because let's be honest, when you're in these smaller towns and smaller cities, whoever's coming out with a championship, little kids instantly attract to that person.
Right.
That's the guy I need to cheer. It's got to be the awesomest feeling.
Dude, I'm very blessed. I keep saying, I got to thank the good Lord above. It's full circle in a lot of respects. Before I was out for those 7 years, I was holding 3 championships. And then I got back into the business and I've been back in Canada for 1 full year now. And we just ended the last show in Lethbridge, Alberta for Pure Power Wrestling. I won the tag team titles. So that put me at 3 championships. I hold the British Commonwealth Championship in Real Canadian Wrestling, which is based out of Alberta, the PPW Tag Team Championship in Lethbridge, Alberta, and then the CWE Central Canadian Championship, which is represented in Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Ontario. Yeah, it's just like it capped off the year for me. I put 1 solid year back in Canada, which I thought I needed to do. I went to the UK first, but come back home base and reestablish yourself and get yourself over again with the promoters and the new talent. And I think I've accomplished that with those 3 championships. I think that's just a feather in the cap showing, you know, hard work is paying off, most definitely. But you're right, with the small towns and the children, like they love that stuff. They gravitate towards it. And it's a prop in a sense, but at the same time, it's a feather in the cap. And it's like the promoter has the confidence in you to be on the poster with the championship and to carry the matches, carry the company. And it's a feather in the cap too. It's a compliment as well. I just got to keep on grinding and working hard, man. Nothing lasts forever, but just one day at a time. I'm riding the wave, man. It's been a good wave. I'm very, very blessed. I hope I answered your question there. I think I had a little more.
Yeah. My question started off with one thing and went completely sideways. So we're all good, brother.
Speaking of the CWE Central Championship, I believe you're defending that in a steel cage on the next tour.
Multiple steel cage matches. I was blown away. I was looking at the cards. I'm in multiple steel cage matches night after night. It's a 9-day tour. I don't know if I'm on every single one, but there's going to be multiple cage matches I'll be in. So it's going to be crazy. I've only been in 1 cage match.
Oh, there we go. That was my question.
Right. 2009.
It's been a while. That's got to make a difference too. Like obviously that cage just gets the crowd so much more.
Oh yeah. It's a draw, man. Everyone wants to see 2 guys locked in a cage. What's going to happen? You know, like it's a good draw for sure.
I love it. I've been pretty vocal on the podcast about when CW comes in, we never see a title change. And then you won that championship the night after Regina.
My hometown.
And it's awesome that it was your hometown, but I was like, oh, we got robbed of a title change.
So close.
But this will be the only time when you guys come through in February, I don't want to see a title change. I need to see my man retain that championship in a steel cage.
I'm going to do that just for you, pal. Yeah. You know it. I remember that question. You're talking about touring with CWE. It's the only touring company in Canada. And the matches you get, like the reason I'm having so many matches and one of the busiest guys is because it's CWE, you know, and I'll fill in my schedule with local bookings in Alberta and Saskatchewan and stuff. But CWE is giving me the most work. It's where I'm making the most money. And it's where I'm actually getting to be a professional wrestler and actually do the job. Working night after night after night. And yeah, it is hard, man. Like you got to stretch, you got to be in good shape. I mean, you get in good shape working every night. Your ring wind gets amazing, but It's not for everybody. I mean, that's the ultimate test. If you can hack a tour, you know, 13, 14, 15, 17 matches in a row and still want to keep doing it, like you're cut out for this, you know, but it's not for everybody. But no one really gets to live that life anymore. I was talking to some friends, and currently I'm wrestling more matches than a lot of guys on the main roster at WWE are. Like, they're like cutting their schedule down. And I find it odd. I guess it's to preserve their bodies, you know. But at the same time, you don't get good unless you're doing this every night. And I'm blessed I can do this every night. I'm blessed to be a professional wrestler and do it the way it's supposed to be, you know. Sorry, I went off there, but I kind of remembered the last part of that question for you.
No, you're good, man. It's a great way to end it. It really is. We're up against the clock here, but we want to make sure that everybody can find you on the social medias, on the YouTubes. What's your handles? Let's get the word out. How can people find you online?
All right. It's quite simple, actually. It's all the same for YouTube, Facebook fan page, and my Instagram. It's Kazi, Kaze, CMF, the number 4, life. Kazi, CMF for life. Crazy mofo for life. My Instagram is when I operate. So if you want to message me on there, promoters for bookings, or just want to say hello, so I will gladly get back to you and chat. My fan page is someone else runs that and just helps spread the word out for me. And then YouTube has lots of clips, videos, highlight reels, and, you know, all kinds of cool stuff like that. But Kazi, CMF for life.
Love it. Fans, go find this man's pages. Hit him up on Instagram, Facebook. Go find YouTube. You can watch him from a young child to being the man that he is right now.
It's true.
Backyard wrestling to pro wrestling. Kamikaze, we can't thank you enough. This was such a blast. Time flew by. I can't believe it.
It did fly. Like, yes, it did. Yeah,
we're running out of time, but thank you so much for your time. We can't wait to see you on the CWE tour when they come through Regina in February. And by the sounds of it, a man's going to be inside the steel cage.
Woo!
Awesome, dude. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was fantastic. Legitimately, like 35 minutes have flown by and I can't believe it.
I'm blown away by that. It felt like nothing. Wow. We'll have to do a round two sometime.
Absolutely. Awesome. Dude, this was so much fun. We appreciate it. Thanks for hanging out with us for a little bit and have a great Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, guys, and Happy New Year. And come on down to the merch table. Say hi. I'd love to interact with you more. Get to meet you finally in the flesh too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll be by come February.
Thank you for your support, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. No See problem. You in February.
Take care. Welcome to my home. Play that music to now. Show me what you do now. We don't have to go out. Hey, 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 hey. Welcome to my home. Welcome to my house. It's my house. Yowie wowie.